Today's daf is Pesachim daf Mem Aleph. We left off at the Mishnah on daf Mem Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Jeff Misher in honor of Avi Eisenberg, Scott Farrell, and Tully Weiss, along with all the other participants in Bike for Chai, who are biking up to Camp Simcha, I think, starting today. We thank Jeff very much for the sponsorship. We are holding a daf Mem Amud Beis at the Mishnah. The entire daf today is about the issue of the requirement to roast the Korban Pesach and not to cook the Korban Pesach. First, we're going to discuss the source of the Isser to cook the Korban Pesach in fruit juices, which leads to a discussion of why it's Asser to cook the Korban Pesach after it's already been roasted, meaning even if you roast it first, it's still Asser to cook it. Then we're going to derive from the specific Isserim of cooking and partially roasting Korban Pesach that charring it and eating it raw are not included in the Isser, and we're going to discuss cooking the Korban Pesach in Chamei Teveria in hot springs, and then we're going to discuss the Isser of eating the Korban Pesach when it's partially cooked, when it's nuh. That's the entire daf. It's all about the issur of cooking the Korban Pesach, that there is a requirement dafka to roast the Korban Pesach. The way we get into it, though, is first we continue to talk about things that will be bali de chimutz, that activities that one should not do because it might lead to something becoming chametz. So the Mishnah tells us, einos and kemach l'toch haroses or l'toch hachardol. One should not put flour into haroses nor into mustard. V'im nasan yochel miyad v'mei roser. If you did put it into charoses or to mustard, so you should eat it right away. Rameir says, no, don't eat it right away. It's asr, it's going to be chametz very quickly, so you don't want to take the risk of eating it right away. So the Rishonim explained that what type of charoses are we talking about? Is there water in this charoses or is there no water in the charoses? So the many Rishonim explain, the Meiri, the Rush, the Nemuke Yosef, the Ran, they all explain that we're talking about charoses that has water in it, and that's why you're not supposed to put flour in it, and if it didn't have water in it, it would have been mutter to put flour in it because it's meperos. Meperos are not machmitz. The Acharim just point out that l'chora Rashi l'shitaso, Rashi holds that and daflam and heyam and beis, that granted meperos are not machmitz, they don't cause chametz gomor, but they do make flour into chametz nuksha, that meperos begin the chimutz process at least, and therefore would make it also to eat. So Rashi over here doesn't say anything about the charoses dafka having water. So it could be that it's Rashi l'shitaso, because even if it didn't have water, it would be usher to put the flour into, because it would become chametz nuksha. The Pnei Yeshua is just bothered, then why is Tosos quiet over here? Which is not always such a kasha, but previously when Rashi said that meperos is machmitz to the point of chametz nuksha, Tosos disagreed. Well, why doesn't he disagree over here? And he should say dafka over here, we're dafka talking about where there is water in it. So Pnei Yeshua says it could be that even Rashi holds that the charoses needs to have water in it. From the fact that it doesn't mention, that Rashi doesn't mention it, doesn't prove that he holds that it doesn't need water in it. It could just be that it's davar pashut, that everyone makes charoses with some water in it. So it could be that's why Rashi doesn't mention it. So he's not convinced that the diuk in Rashi is necessarily the greatest diuk. Then the Mishnah tells us, ein mevashlin es haPesach. One should not cook a Korban Pesach, lo b'mashkin v'lo b'meperos, not with any other liquids, nor with fruit juices. Aval sachin madbilin behen, but you can baste the Korban Pesach with fruit juices. You can dip the Korban Pesach when you're eating it in fruit juices, but one, so you could dip it in like a ketchup or something, I guess, some type of tomato paste or fruit juice, but you cannot roast it in the actual boiling juices of any other fruits. So it has to dafka be roasted plain. So the Sefer HaChinuch explains this din of not eating Korban Pesach mevushal. Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Zayin explains that this is based on the idea that we're supposed to act like B'nai Malachim. When we eat the Korban Pesach, we're supposed to eat like kings eat. And kings eat things roasted, they don't eat things cooked. Why? Because people who eat things cooked are trying to maximize what they get out of the meat. When you roast something, it shrivels. When you cook something, it expands a little bit. And it's imbued with more of the water that it was cooking in. So it's the Derech Aniyim to eat only cooked and not to eat roasted. It's the Derech Ashirim to eat roasted because they're going to have plenty of food. So we eat it b'derech hashirim. Also, it shows the chipazon, that it's symbolic of the chipazon because the fastest way to cook something is with direct fire. The fastest way to cook something is to barbecue it. So that also is symbolic of the chipazon, that when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, that we didn't have time to wait for Korban Pesach to cook. We had to dafka roast it. But the Rishonim are bothered. What in the world is this doing here? Meaning, we were just discussing all the Mishnayos we were just discussing after we got through matzah, then maror, then we started discussing things that you shouldn't do because it's going to be bali dechimutz. And even the first line of this Mishnah, don't put flour into charoses, don't put flour into mustard because it's going to be bali dechimutz. Fine, that fits. How do we get into Korban Pesach? Korban Pesach, that belongs in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th prakim of this Masechta, in the Kachim prakim. What are we discussing Korban Pesach over here? So the Maram Chalva explains that since it says in the beginning of the Mishnah, the din of Charoses, that there would be Tovel Basar in Charoses, so it brings a din of Bishul Korban Pesach and the heter to dip Korban Pesach in Charoses. I mean, that was the primary function of the Charoses. So once we mention Charoses, we talk about what the Charoses was used for. A little bit difficult to assume that that's the entire connection. Rabbeinu Davidi says it's mentioned over here because it's a hemshich to the Mishnayos earlier in the parak, where we learn dinim that you do during the Yemei of Pesach, that there are things that are aser to do and there are things that are mutter to do, and the chum warren gozer the mutter atu the aser. Meaning we learn a lot of twin dinim that there's a aser way and a mutter way, and there is no gzeres chacham on the mutter way atu the aser way. For instance, ein shornes hamursin l'tarnagolim aval choltin. You're not supposed to soak the bran for the tarnagolim, but you can boil it. You can boil the bran in boiling water. Meaning they never made a gezeira not to boil it, atu that you might come to soak it. It says, Isha lo tishra samursan, a woman shouldn't soak the bran that she wants to use for soap in the bathhouse, but she can rub it dry. Mutl shavshef is a morsel, she can rub it dry on her skin. And again, they weren't gozer one unto the other. So over here also, ein mevashna sa pesach lo b'mashke v'lo b'meperos, but mutl lo suchlat b'lo sobehen. But you can baste it and you can dip it. So, and we weren't gozer the basting and the dipping unto the cooking. Okay, a little closer, but still there are probably dozens, if not hundreds, of dinim like that where there's an issa, and there's something that there's a mutter way to do something, and we're not always goes there the mutter way to the aser way. So the Rashash suggests a third possibility. He says the Tan is coming to tell us that you're allowed to dip the basar of the Pesach even in charosas and chardal. Without this, I would have thought that it's aser to dip because machmas charifusam then mevatal the time of the Pesach, which relates very much to the discussion we just had about vinegar. That vinegar, certain sharp tasting things have the ability to change halachos because of their sharpness. We discussed Rabbi Yossi Shita about the ability of vinegar to contract something that had already become chametz. So maybe that's what it's telling us about, that even though we were just highlighting the charifos, you're still allowed to dip it in, that the charifos is not going to ruin the mitzvah of carbon Pesach. It's also interesting, so the Mishnah only says that you're not allowed to cook it b'mashkin meperos, but sachinu matbilin also behen. Now, are you allowed to cook carbon Pesach in water? Certainly not. That's mefurish in the Pasuk. The Pasuk actually uses the term mayim. It says, al tochlu menuna uvashel mevushal b'mayim ki im sliyesh. So certainly not allowed to cook it in water. Are you allowed to baste it in water? Are you allowed to dip it in water? So Pashtus is, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to cook it in Meperos, but you're allowed to baste it and dip it in Meperos. So all the Mishnah is teaching me is that Meperos is the same din as Mayim. So the Chari, you should be allowed to baste it in Mayim, you should be allowed to dip it in Mayim. The Rambam in the 8th parak of Hilchos Korban Pesach says, Ein losuch as a basar as besara Pesach b'mayim, that one should not baste it in water. And the Achronim wonder, where in the world did the Rambam get this din that one's not allowed to baste it in water? So some of them explain that the Rambam was medayik from the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Aval sachnu matvilin bahen. Our Mishnah was talking about meperos. Now our Mishnah says, yes, you can be sachnu matvil Bahen, in these juices, but not in water. Chesel Avram and Chazon Yecheskel say a little differently, that the Ram learns this din from the Mishnah later on. The Mishnah Daf Ayin Dalit says that you're only allowed to roast the Karban Pesach on a Shvud Shel Eitz Rimonim, the wood, that they would stick a piece of wood, a spit, right through the animal's mouth to the backside of the animal, and they would roast it on that spit. But what was that spit made out of? It wasn't allowed to be made out of metal, because that's a conductor of heat. Then it's getting cooked by the metal on the inside, it's not getting cooked by the fire on the outside. It had to dafka be made out of wood. What kind of wood? Eitz shel rimonim. Why not other kinds of wood? So the Gemara says, because other kinds of wood are very moist. So the water is going to come out, and then it's going to be mevash of the Karban Pesach, it's not going to be roasted. So Ram says, if we're worried about the moisture in the wood being mevash of the Karban Pesach, kal v'chomer, to add water onto the Karban Pesach while it's roasting is going to be problematic. So maybe that's where the Ram got the idea of ein sach, and that you're not allowed to be sach a Karban Pesach b'mayim. And then the Mishnah tells us, "Meitash Misha Shal Nachlam Yishavchum Neishen Machmitzin." Going back to a discussion of things that are machmitz, tells us that the water that the baker uses to clean off his hands, he should pour out because it's machmitz. It's going to cause all sorts of chametz problems. It's also a discussion: Are you allowed to salt the meat of the Karban Pesach? I mean, if you hold like the Shitas Rambam, I'm just going back on from a second ago. If you hold like the Shitas Rambam, you're not allowed to put water on the Karban Pesach even while it's roasting. So, are you allowed to do melicha on the Karban Pesach? So technically you don't need melicha because you're roasting it. The halacha that we do melicha on all of our meat is because there's the chance that we might cook it. But if you roast over an open fire, it doesn't require melicha. We assume the esh draws out all of the dam. But the Beis HaShechita, the area where the animal is shechted, always requires melicha. So the type is not sure about this. How can you do melicha? So what's the problem? Melicha is not water. So number one, it might be. We discussed the other day how melech might have a din of water. But also, melicha is not just done by salting something. When you learn hilchos melicha, there needs to be a hadacha rishona and a hadacha shnia. You need to rinse the meat both before and after the melicha. So it requires multiple hadachos. So can you do a hadacha in water? So that's what the disciple says. Must be that the Rambam would hold that if you're doing a melicha, that you would dry it out, that you'd be able to dry out all the water before you cook it. But while you cook it, it can't have any more water on it. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Kana, Machlokas Latocha Chardol. The whole discussion about putting flour into charoses or chardol. So we said, what happens if you did? Should you eat it right away or should you get rid of it? That whole machlokas is only on the chardol. Avlatocha Roses, Divrei Hakol Yisarif Miad. But if you put it into charoses, then everyone would hold you should certainly burn it right away. V'tanya nami hachi, einos and kemel chatocha charoses, v'mnas and yisarif miyad. Don't put it into charoses. If you do, then you should burn it right away. Why dafka by charoses? Are we more machmir that you should burn it right away? L'kuli alma. So charoses is not a scharif, and therefore it could be that if you hold, like we said before, like with the chometz, that the vinegar has the ability to stop a chimutz, so that which is more charif will stop the chimutz more easily. But that which is less charif, like charoses, will not stop the chimutz as quickly. Again, the whole machlok is only l'toch hachardol, where a mayor says burn it right away if you put flour in, and the chamas say eat it right away. Amar Rav Huna b'Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'divrei chachamim, we pass like the chachamim that you can eat it right away if you put it into the chardol. That's also an interesting thing. The Achronim all ask the kasha. Of course, halacha k'divrei chachamim, we always pass like yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim, you always pass like the majority. You don't need to say halacha k'divrei unless it's something that's up in the air, but we have klalei apsak. This is a rule in Gan Shas. Of course, you're always going to paskin k'divrei chachamim over here. So some of the Achronim explain that no, there is a competing rule over here. The Gemara in Erevin says that halacha k'Rabbi Meir b'gzeirosav, that we pass like Rabbi Meir in his gzeiros. So Rabbi Meir says yisarif miyad. This may be a gzeira, that it's a gzeira that you might not recognize if it has become chametz when you try to eat it. So we're gozer. Don't even eat it, even if you're pretty confident that it has not become chametz mitam gzeira. So even though halacha k'Rabbi Meir b'gzeirosav, typically over here the halacha is going to be like the chachamim. Okay, there are other suggestions as well, but that's one suggestion. Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehuda, acharoses kamamar or achardol kamamar. When you say that we hold like the chachamim, are you talking about the case of the charoses or are you you're talking about the case of the chardal, when you say that you could eat it right away. So Amalei l'maynaf kamina. So he says, well, l'maynaf kamina between the two. L'chadrav kana, tamrav kana, machlokas l'tovcha chardal v'tovcha charosis. Tivrei kol yisarif miyad. Well, I need to know, because Rav Kahana said that when it comes to charosis, there was no machlokas, that everyone holds you should burn it right away. Amalei lo shmieli, kolomar lo svirili. He says, no, I don't hold to that. I don't think that that's true, that the machlokas is only by the chardal and by charoses you should burn it right away. I think even by charoses you're allowed to eat it. That we pass like the chachamim, that even if you put flour into charoses, one is allowed to eat it. Amar Ravashi kavasei drav kana mistavra. It's most mistavra like Rav Kana. Midamar Shmuel ein alach krabiosi. My love tzmusi hudalot tzamis hachamui mechama. After all, we say that we don't pass like krabiosi, that vinegar has the ability to abort and reverse the chimutz process. So pashtos is, if you say that we don't hold like krabiosi, it means that you hold vinegar has the ability to speed up the chimutz process, will make it become chametz right away. So lo dilma lo matzmas tzamis v'lo chamui mechama. Says Gemara, well, it's not a riot to anything. Maybe it is not doesn't do anything. It's not machmitz, nor does it reverse the chimutz process. So don't tell me that it must be that we pass like Rav Kahana, that when you're dealing with charoses, it's for sure going to be an immediate problem because it has vinegar, and we don't know like Rav Yossi that vinegar reverses the chimutz. Therefore, vinegar must speed up the chimutz process. No, vinegar may just do nothing. It may just have no effect whatsoever on the chimutz process. So it's not a raya to Rav Kahana. Good. Now the rest of the daf discusses the requirement to be tzola, to roast the Korban Pesach, and not to cook the Korban Pesach. So the Mishnah said, ein mevashlin. One may not cook the Korban Pesach, not b'mashkin, not b'meperos, with any sort of liquid. Tan Rabban, b'mayim, Pasuk only says b'mayim. The Pasuk says, like we said before, al tochlu mimenu na, uvashal mevushal b'mayim. Don't eat it partially cooked, or totally cooked in water. Kiyim tzliyesh rosh al krav el kirbo. Rather, you have to eat it roasted. So it only said mayim, mainly el b'mayim, shar mashkin minayim. So where did our Mishnah get that meperos, all these other mashkin, are also a problem? So amr kal v'chomer, umma mayim shein mefigin taimun asurin, shar mashkin shein mefigin taimun lo kol shkein. Well, if even water, which doesn't do anything to take away from the taste of the meat, is going to be asur, shar mashkin, which affect the taste of the meat, should for sure be asur. So that's how I know shar mashkin is included in the Yisr. Fractosos in Dibra Maskel Ika, simple kasha, there's a rule in Shas, ein mazhirin min adin, you're not allowed to use a kal v'chomer to teach a losase, to teach an ashara. So how could we have a losase over here, how could we have a kal v'chomer over here to teach a losase? So Tosos mitarates that over here the Gemara is not being mechadesh, the Tana is not being mechadesh in Isra of Shar Mashkin. Our Mishnah wasn't being mechadesh, a brand new Isra of Shar Mashkin based on the kal v'chomer. Rather, the kal v'chomer is megala what's included in the Isra of Bishul in the Torah, that the Isra of Bishul in the Torah includes Shar Mashkim. Aye, but it doesn't say that, it says water. So no, what it's being megala is that there are two reasons why the Torah could have used the term mayim as opposed to any other liquid. One is that it's only by mayim and the Isra doesn't apply to anything else. Or it could be that the Torah used the term mayim because that's the most normal thing to cook in. So it just picks the most practical, normal example. So the kal v'chomer's megala that option B is correct, that the Torah uses mayim because that's the most practical example. It does not use mayim to the exclusion of other types of liquids. The Rosh Yosef and the Tzlach quote from the Rambam that the way the Magen Mishnah understands the Rambam, that ein masirin min adin is only when we learn a brand new Isser from a Kal V'chomer. But if you already have an Isser Asay and the Kal V'chomer comes to teach me that it's not only an Asay but also a Los Asay, then we can be masirin min adin. Then you would be able to use a Kal V'chomer. If that's the case, then there's no kasha over here. Because we already have an Isser Asay. We already have an Isra say in the Torah that it has ki im tzliyesh. It can only be roasted. You can't cook it any other way. So obviously, if you cook it in fruit juices, even if it's not a violation of cooking b'mayim, it would be a violation of not tzliyesh. So you already have a pre-existing Isra say. Therefore, the kal v'chomer could come to teach a lo say as well. So that's one possibility, that it's a kal v'chomer. That's how I know that you're not allowed to cook it in fruit juices. Second possibility, Rebbe Omer b'mayim. Ein li ela mayim, shar mashkin minayin, so I would only know about water. How do I know about shar mashkin that you're not allowed to cook in fruit juice? It's hamalomar uvashal mevushal mikol makom. The double expression vashal mevushal teaches us that that shar mashkin are also included. My benayhu, what's the nafkamina between the two reasons? Whether you derive it from a kavul chomer or whether you derive it from the double expression vashal mevushal, so you could be nayutzli kedar. The nafkamina would be if it's a pot roast, you don't have any external liquids that are cooking it, but it's sitting in its own juices because it's not over an open flame. It's in a pot that's on a fire, so its own juices seep out and it gets to sit in its own juices. So if you hold that the issue is the kavul chomer, that if mayim doesn't add any time is going to be also then for sure peros that add time are going to be also, well, you certainly would not learn from that kavul chomer that its own juices are a problem. Its own juices l'chora would be fine, but if you're going to learn v'shalom v'shalom mikol makom, that it's all inclusive no matter what, any type of bishul, anything that's not roasting is included. Well, this isn't roasting. The pot roast is not roasting. Now, v'rabbanan hay v'shalom v'shalom may avdilei. So the rabbanan who learned the kal v'chomer, who didn't say like Rebbe, they learned the kal v'chomer. What did they do with v'shalom v'shal? Meaning they're not going to use it to. They're going to hold that the pot roast. They're not going to use to teach it the pot roast, right? So they're going to hold the pot roast pashlus as mutter. So that's the question. Is that true? The rabbanon are going to hold that it's mutter to cook a korban pesach in, by roasting it in a pot, by putting it in a pot, not over an open flame? So Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi say, according to the rabbanon, yeah, it's mutter to do tzli kedar. It's mutter to make korban pesach in a pot. Tosos in Dibra Maskel Ika says no. Even the Rabbanan would hold that it's also to make Korban Pesach Tzli Kedar, because it says Ki Im Tzli Eish, that you have to dafka roast it over a fire. If you roast it with Tzli Kedar, you're mevatel that mitzvah saseh. It's just the Rabbanan are saying you're not in violation of a lav, but it's certainly a bitel asay. It's very similar to what the Gemara is going to say later on. Daf Ayin Hey, a Korban Pesach that touches the side of the oven, so it gets heated, it gets cooked a little bit from the wall of the oven and not directly from the fire is puzzle, because it's nitzla machmas acheres and not machmas liyesh. So it's a violation of kiyim tzliyesh. Meaning, granted, it's not a violation of bishul, but it's a violation of kiyim tzliyesh. So the homa chlokas the rabbanon and the rebbe is only about the lav of bishul. According to the rabbanon, tzlikedar is not including the lav. It's only a violation of the asay. According to rebbe, it's also a violation of the lav. In fact, the shita of Rashi is very difficult to understand. Why isn't it a bittel of the assay? How can you say that it's mutter to make a korban pesach in a pot? Shouldn't that for sure be a violation of the assay of kiyam tzliyesh? So the Rosh Yosef explains that Rashi is only talking about if you already pre-roasted it. If you roast it and then cook it in a pot. So meaning, in terms of the assay, you already did tzliyesh. So you did tzliyesh, you were mekayim the assay. In terms of the lav, so the rabbanon say, well, it's not a los assay to cook it in its own juices. It's only a mitzvah saseh that you have to roast it, but you already roasted it. Now you're allowed to cook it in its own juices. Whereas Rebbe would say, no, you're never allowed to cook it in its own juices because that itself is a violation of the law. So anyway, for Rabbanan, hi, basham v'vushal may avdiluhu. What did the Rabbanan do with this double expression, basham v'vushal? So mibaylu leilich d'tanya, they needed to teach the following braisa. Bishlo v'achach tzalo, shetzalo v'achach bishlo chayiv, like we were just discussing. What if you cook it and then you roast it, or you roast it and then you cook it? So Bryce says you're chayiv. So bishlam bishlam v'achach tzalo chayiv da bashlei. I understand very well why if you cook it first and then you roast it, you're going to be chayiv because you cooked it, meaning it was cooked first. So you're going to be chayiv. Al tzalo v'acharach bishlo hatzliyeshu. But if you roast it and then you cook it, well, what's the problem? It's tzliyesh, it's roasted. Why can't you cook it afterwards? Amai, what's the problem? Am Rav Kana hamani Rabbi Yosihi. This must be assumed like the sheet of Rabbi Yosi. Detanya yotzin berakik hasharui ubemuvushal shlolim nimoach divrei meir. For the mitzvah of matzah, can you be yotze with a soaked piece of matzah? So Rav Meir holds, yes. As long as it's not completely disintegrated, it's totally fine. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Yotzin Barak Hashari, Avalo B'Mavushal. You can use a soaked piece of matzah, but not a cooked piece of matzah, even though it hasn't completely disintegrated. So you see that according to Rabbi Yosi, cooking after something has already been baked, baking is the equivalent of roasting, cooking after something that has already been baked, does not affect it. It's not called cooking. It's not going to be considered cooking. So we must be that we're assuming like Rabbi Yosi. So what's the problem if you tzalav achar kach bishlo? It's tzliyesh. So why should there be any problem? So we're assuming that it's going that it's dafka on like Rabbi Yosi, that if you cook an already baked matzah, it can't be used. It's not that it's no good, that you're not allowed to use it for the mitzvah of matzah. Apparently, cooking after baking does have an impact, according to Rabbi Yossi. Lo b'mvushal, Rabbi Yossi said that cooking, it is going to be still called cooking even after you've already baked something. So cooking after roasting something is going to be called roasting something. Must be assuming like Rabbi Yossi. Ula amar afilu tem Rav Meir. Ula says, no, we could even be assuming like Rav Meir. Shayni yachad amakra, v'asham v'vushal mikal makam. But the pasuk says, v'asham v'vushal. That includes any kind of cooking, even the kind of cooking that you do after you've already roasted it. The Egle Tal in Hilchos Shabbos, the whole Sefer in Hilchos Shabbos, the Egle Tal in the Melacha of Ofe raises the following question. According to the Maskana of our Gemara, that if you roast it and then you cook it, it's Asr because the Bishul is Mevatel, the roasting. That we paskin that Bishul is going to undo the roasting. So what if you cook it and then you roast it? We said the Gemara started by saying if you cook it and then you roast it, of course that's no good because it's already cooked. It's not, you know, so the fact that you then roast it is not going to help. But the Maskaras HaGemara, if you roast it and then cook it, we say the cooking is the dominant one, that we forget about that it was ever roasted. The cooking is what really matters. So shouldn't we say that it's therefore okay in the reverse, that if you cook it and then roast it, that the roasting is the dominant, and then we should forget about the cooking? So he says no, because once it's cooked, it's already a chafzid yisura. It already has a shema iser. There's no indication anywhere that roasting takes away an already existing iser. I mean, roasting is how to prepare a korban pesach properly, but for it to take away an iser that's already been chal, that it can't do. There's also a discussion in the Rishonim over here. Once we mention it, we had this discussion in the Tanaim about soaking matzos. Is one allowed to soak their matzah? And if so, what can you soak your matzah in? So Rashi says that rakik hashori b'tavshil, you soak your matzah in some cooked food. So it sounds like any sort of liquid you're allowed to soak your matzah in, and it's perfectly fine. But the Ravid is quoted in the Rabbeinu Menoch on the side of the Rambam, Menoch's Chametz Matzah, holds that you cannot be yotze with matzahs soaked in shar mashkin because mefigin es tama, it takes away the tam matzah. When one eats matzah, you're supposed to taste the tam matzah. This is very nogel lemaisa. There are a lot of older people that are unable to digest matzah just in its dry form, and they need to soak it in order to be able to eat it. So can they soak it in their soup, or do you have to dafka soak it in mayim? Can you soak it in things other than mayim? So Rashi would say yes, and the tafshil is totally fine. The Ravid says no, and the Rush sounds that way also. That a zakit and a chola that's not able to eat a kazayis, he says soak it in water, dafka in water. That's how the Torah writes as well. So it has to be that way. In the Pri Chadash brings a raya from the Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Ches that the reason that why is it according to. Why is the tam that the matzah that's cooked is possible according to Rabbi Yossi? Because it doesn't have tam matzah once it's cooked. So it sounds like if it loses tam matzah, then it's no good. On the other end, you can bring a raya the other way. Sharet Zion brings a raya from the Sharet Zion points out, he quotes those who say that it's also to soak it in shar mashkin, and he asks them because we have a discussion about someone who needs dough. We already discussed if you need the matzah dough with meperos or with grape juice or something like that. So we already said that you're not yotze yayin dvash. We said you're not yotze the mitzvah of matzah. Why lechem oni? It needs to be lechem oni. It needs to be a poor man's bread, and that is a rich man's bread. Forget about lechem oni. It should be no good anyway because it's not tam matzah. So you can't be yotze the mitzvah of matzah. Who cares about why do you have to come on to lechem oni? So says the Shar Tzion. It sounds a little bit that the tam is not going to be such a concern for us. But you could be mechalik. He's mechalik that when you knead the dough with yayin, so that is the lechem. So that is the tam matzah. This matzah is made of meperos. So that's part of the tam matzah, as opposed to if you already have your matzah and then you soak it in something, so that's an external tam. That's like putting cream cheese on it. Anything that you take that's going to be added on top of the matzah, that may be more of a problem when you have something external that's being added to the matzah. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Tan Rabbanan, Yachol Tzalo Kol Tzarcho Yei Chayiv. I might have thought that if you roast it fully, you're going to be Chayiv. Tam Lomar Al Tochlu Menu Na Uvashal Mvushal Mumayim. No Uvashal Mvushal Marti Lach Veloshu Tzalo Kol Tzarcho. What's the Yisr? The Yisr if it's partially cooked, if it's partially roasted, or if it's cooked, but not if it's totally roasted. Hey Chidami, what do we mean Tzalo Kol Tzarcho? Am Ravashi Deshavi Charucha, where you mamish char it. If you completely char it, that's Tzalo Kol Tzarcho. Tan Rabban, Yachol Achol Kazayis Cha Yehi Chayiv. I might think that if you eat a kazayis of the Korban Pesach raw, you're chayiv eating it raw. Tamalomar Al Tochlu Mimenu Na Uvashal Mavushal. Na Uvashal Marti Lach Velo Chay. The Isser is to eat it partially cooked, the Isser is to eat it cooked, the Isser is not to eat it raw. So Yachol Yei Mutter, so I might think, okay, great, so you could eat it raw if you want. Tamalomar Kiyim Sliyesh. No, but there's a mitzvah sasei to eat it Kiyim Sliyesh, that you dafka have to eat it Sliyesh. So Hechi Dami Na, what does Na mean exactly? Amarav Kadami Parsai Avarnim. Na means Avarnim. What in the world is Avarnim? Says Rashi, Osu Sliyesh Shabloshim Parsi Kriya Avarnim Blashon HaKodesh Kari Na. In Lashon Parsi, what they call Avarnim, in Lashon HaKodesh we call that Na. So as long as you speak Lashon Parsi, you now understand this Gemara of what exactly you're not allowed to do with the Korban Pesach. Problem is, not everyone speaks Lashon Parsi. So this is a major discussion in the Rishonim. What exactly is Na? What does it mean that it's partially cooked? The Rambam in the 8th Parak of Hilchos Korban Pesach says that when the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it Na, it means when you started to cook it, and it's not yet Ro'i La'achilas Adam. Not yet Ro'i La'achilas Adam, which implies that it's not yet Machal Ben Drusai. Machal Ben Drusai we assume is the minimal amount that it needs to be Achilas Adam. That Ben Drusai was this Ganav and he was always on the run, so we would eat things that weren't fully cooked, but when they were barely edible, so that's one third cooked, one half cooked, you have to go back to the Machlokas Rishonim when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. That's how the Rambam understands. By Hilchos Shabbos, by Bishul Akum, anything that's cooked to the point of Machal Ben Drusai is considered cooked. No would be before it gets to that point. It's not yet Mavushal, it's only No. However, some of the Achronim point out that Rashi Ala Torah, Shemos Parakid Beis, Pasuk Tes, says No is anything that's not in the Spashel, called Tzarcho. The implication is that it's past Machal Ben Drusai, it's just not yet fully cooked. L'chora, if you go back to the reason that the Sefer HaChinuch gave for why we have to dafka roast and not cook the Korban Pesach, because we should be like B'nai Malachim and we should eat it with dignity, so l'chora, Machal Ben Drusai is not enough. L'chora, but we're not Tashin in time of the Krab, but it would just fit better. Rashi, l'chora, would fit a little bit better with the Tam, with the reason over here that you have to eat it in a dignified way, so you want it to be fully roasted. And anything short of fully roasted is going to be a problem. Whereas going to the Rambam, you're eating a Kamachal Ben Drusai, that's certainly not a dignified way to eat. That's the way a bandit who's on the run would eat something. Okay, Amrav Chista, Hamavashal B'chamei Tveria B'Shabbos Potter. If someone cooks something on Shabbos in Chamei Tveria, the hot springs of Tveria, he's Potter for Bishul B'Shabbos. Pesach Shebishul B'chamei Tveria, Chayiv. If you cook a Korban Pesach in Chamei Tveria, it's not called Bishul for Shabbos, but it is called Bishul for Bishul Korban Pesach, and therefore Yechayiv, you did the Yisr of being Mevashal Korban Pesach. So, Fragmar, what's the difference? Maishan B'Shabbos Tolol de Toldo Seish Bin and Veleka. Why in Shabbos is it not called Bishul? Because it's not Toldo Seish, it's not something that was heated by fire. Pesach Nami Lav Toldo Seishu. Pesach also, it's not Toldo Seish, and therefore it shouldn't be called Bishul. So, why is that a violation of cooking in Korban Pesach? So, Amarava, May Chayiv de Katani, de Kavan Rishon. No, when we say chayiv, it means it's a violation of tzliyesh. It means it's not roasted. You didn't do the roasting. It's not a violation of bishul. It's a violation of not roasting it. He had Rav Chista teaching it even more explicitly. That Am Rav Chista Mavashal B'chamit Tveri B'Shabbos Pater U'Pesach B'Shul B'chamit Tveri Chayiv Sha'avar Mishum Tzliyesh, where he says explicitly that the problem with Pesach is that it's that's a violation of Tzliyesh. A fascinating kasha that all the Achronim ask is Mevashal Karbon Pesach with Chamei Tveria. So Chamei Tveria and Mestama are located in Tveria. Karbon Pesach is Kachim. You're not allowed to bring it outside of Yerushalayim. It's Nifsal B'yotze. How could one ever possibly be Mevashal a Karbon Pesach with Chamei Tveria? Very practical question. So several answers given in each one, it adds a different wrinkle and a different insight. In the Yechusei Tanaim V'Amoraim, quotes here in the Masifta says that we're talking about a Pesach that they were the Karban Pesach was not only they were not only makav Karban Pesach when we had a Beis Hamikdash, when we had a Mishkan they were makav Karban Pesach, in the Midbar we were makav Karban Pesach. So it could be that we're talking during one of those tkufos in history when we didn't have a Beis Hamikdash. There was no psul yotze when it comes to Yerushalayim. It wasn't even done in Yerushalayim in the first place. Pri Yitzchak suggests that you don't have to say that there's such a metzius of being mevashel b'chamei Tveria. That the Gemara all the time talks about cases that don't have an actual metzius, that there's no way that practically it could happen. It develops a theoretical construct, and then we can apply that theoretical construct. So if someone finds in Yerushalayim some natural spring, and he comes up with the idea, hey, why don't I cook my Karban Pesach in this? No, based on chamei Tveria, that based on the theoretical construct we've developed, the classic example we always give is Nisabraba and Batya. For years, no one understood, why is the Gemara talk about a woman who gets pregnant in a bathtub? It's not possible. She can't get pregnant in the bathtub. But what was it doing? It was setting up an idea of a pregnancy without a maisabia. So now we have in vitro fertilization, the pregnancy without a maisabia. So once the theoretical construct is set up, we can then apply it properly. That's how the Pri Yitzchak suggests. The Imre Yosha, Rameir Arik, and Imre Yosha says, no, if you hold that... He says, maybe if you hold that, he says, maybe this is megala to us, whether a ladle has a din of a kli rishon or a kli sheni. Why? Because you could take the chamei tveria, bring it to Yerushalayim and cook it in the chamei tveria. It's in a kli sheni. How you can take it? You can't take the whole spring. You have to bring it in a kli. But maybe if you dip the kli into the chamei tveria, and the kli is totally immersed in the chamei tveria to the point that the walls of the kli are heated, are already hot by the time you pull it out. So maybe that still has a din of a kli rishon. So too, when you take soup out of a pot on Shabbos, so you stick the ladle in, the ladle does not have a din of a kli sheni, but a din of a kli rishon. So if you hold a ladle as a din of a kli rishon, then you can come up with a mitzvah, so you mevashel b'chamei tveria. Rabbi Arik, very creative. He also says that another possibility, that maybe we're talking about where you roasted the Karban Pesach first and then you cooked it. So since it was roasted first, it already became softened. And we learned, we just discussed yesterday, that kalei abishal, things that are easily cooked, can be cooked in a kli sheni. So maybe you're able to bring the chamei tveria and the kli sheni, and the Karban Pesach, which is already previously roasted, is already softened up, it now has become kalei abishal, and therefore you're able to cook it in a kli sheni. A third yishuv of Meir Arik says, based on the Shitas HaRambam, that by other kachim kalim that go outside of Yerushalayim before the Zrika, and then you bring it back into Yerushalayim before the Zrika, it's not nifsal biyotze, it's only after the Zrika. So maybe that's what you do, you bring it outside, cook it in a chamei tveria, and then bring it back in. The Pashas, you could say, yeah, in a chinami, it's us to cook in a chamei tveria. But if you did cook in a chamei tveria, so did you violate the isra of bishul as well, of being mevashel karban pesach? And if you then eat it, yes, you violated the isra of eating kachim psulim. But did you also violate the isra of eating mevushel? Okay, one could have suggested that. The Imre Emes says, no, this is a raya that ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh, anything that we have in our technology, Chazal already knew about. So we think a thermos is a very chashuv technology that we came up with. He says, no, they must have had a thermos. And a thermos doesn't have a din of a kli sheni because it's meant dafka to retain the heat. So it must mean that they brought the chamei tveria in a thermos to Yerushalayim, and that's the case that they were talking about. Okay, again, many of these answers assume that there needs to be such a metzius. Pasha says there doesn't really need to be such a metzius. Okay, says Gemara further now. Amar Rava, achlo na, if one eats karban pesach partially cooked, lo kashtayim, he gets a double malchus. Mevushal, lo kashtayim, if he eats it regular cooked, he gets it partially roasted, rather gets a double malchus, and if he eats it cooked, he gets a double malchus. What's the double malchus? So Rashi points out, if he eats it partially roasted, number one, it says that you're not allowed to eat it, and number two, it says kiyam tzliyesh, so you get a malchus for not eating it roasted, and if you eat it cooked, also for mevushal and for not eating it roasted, so it's a double malchus. Abaye says, no, you're not going to get a malchus on a lav that includes many other isurim. So the isra of kiyam tzliyesh is a lav that includes many other isurim. You're not going to get a separate malchus for that. So some understand, Abaye, that yeah, you're not going to get a double malchus, but you will get a single malchus. Meaning, if you cook it in chamei teveria, where it's not non, it's not mevushal, but it's not sliyesh either. It's a violation of sliyesh. Can you then get a malchus for sliyesh? When we say that you don't get a malchus for lav shebecholos, does that mean that when the lav is violated together with one of these subcategories, you're only going to get malchus for the subcategory, not for the general lav? But when the general lav is on its own, you'll still get malchus for that? Or do we assume no, that the general lav is excluded from the parsha of malchus and you can't get malchus at all? So first possibility is tatami yudulalaki chadimi as lucky. You can get malchus for the general lav. Maybe it's just not similar to the lav de chasima, and therefore you don't get malchus on it at all. Rava Amar Achal Zag, similar machlokas pina baya and Rava, about a nazir. Nazir is not allowed to eat any grape products whatsoever. So Rava says, Achal Zag, lokashtayim. If a person eats the grape pits, he's lokashtayim, because because a nazir, not a person, a nazir, eats zag, because of zag lo yochal, and kol asher yasim gefen ayayin, he violates. Chartzon, if he eats chartzon, another grape product, lokashtayim, also double malchus. Again, for chartzon, mechartzanim, it says in the pasuk, and also kol asher yasim gefen, anything that comes from gefen. Zag vichartzon, if he eats both the peel and the pit, lokashalosh, he gets three malchus, one for the peel, one for the pit, one for kol asher yasim gefen. Abaye yomer in lokan alav shabachalos. Abaye says, no, you're not going to get a malchus kol asher yasim gefen. That's a general, that's a general lav. Ikadamri tarti the lalaki chadami alaki, ikadamri chadanami lalaki dulam yakalavi kalav de chasima. And then you have this machlokas within Abaye. What if you ate a different part of the grape, not the zag and not the chartzanim? Do you get the malchus would you then get the malchus for kol asher yasim gefen? Tan rabbanon, achol kazayis nami bod yom pater. If a person eats a kezayis of partially roasted carbon Pesach on Erev Pesach, he's potter. He's only chayiv if he eats it on the night of Pesach. But on Erev Pesach, he's potter. Kezayis no mishachashecha chayiv. He eats a kezayis of partially roasted meat after dark on the first night of Pesach, he's going to be chayiv. If a person eats a kezayis of roasted carbon Pesach before Pesach starts on Erev Pesach, he does not passel himself from being part of the chabura. The halacha is that if someone is part of the chabura and eats on his own, he then becomes passel from being in the rest of the chabura. But that's only if you eat on your own when you're supposed to be eating it. But if it's on Erev Pesach, you don't passel yourself from the rest of the chabura. Kezayis tzli mishachashecha passel atzmo mnei chabura. But if he eats a kezayis tzli after Pesach already starts, then he does passel himself. Tanya idach. Yachal achal kezayis na mibod yom yechayiv. You might think that if you eat a kezayis of partially roasted meat, mibod yom yechayiv, v'dinu, and it makes sense. Uma b'shosh yeshom b'kom echal tzli yeshom b'al tochal na. If when you're supposed to be eating the roasted meat, there's a violation in Isra to eat partially roasted meat. B'shosh yeshom b'kom echal tzli yeshom din sheshom b'al tochal na. When you're not even allowed to eat fully roasted meat, then of course there's going to be an Isra to eat the partially roasted meat. So maybe we should say such a kal v'chomer, Allah, or maybe no, maybe we should say it the other way. Maybe the iser of eating it na is only operative once you have a mitzvah to eat it tzli, to eat it roasted. But when there's no kum echol tzli, there is an iser of bal tochal na. When there's yeshu b'kumechol tzli, eno bal tochal na. Va'al tetama, sharei hutu mechlolo eitzel tzli. Talmud omar, al tochal menu na, uvashal mvushal b'mayim, kiim sliyesh. So what does the pasuk add? Shein talmud omar, kiim sliyesh. What does the pasuk add when it adds that phrase, kiim sliyesh? Ma talmud omar, kiim sliyesh. It seems totally extra. Lomar lecha b'shosh, yeshu b'kumechol tzli, yeshu bal tochal na. It's to teach me that when is there an iser to eat it partially roasted? Only when there's a mitzvah to eat it fully roasted. When there's no mitzvah to eat it fully roasted, then there's no mitzvah, there's no iser to eat it partially roasted. Rebbe Omer Ekra Ani Bashel Matal Lomer Mevushal. Rebbe says, I'm bothered by the double expression. It's a double expression in the pasuk. Uvashel Mevushal B'mayim. It says Vashel. Why do I need Mevushal? What does that add? Sheyachol Ein Liyalasha Bishlo Mishechashecha Bishlo Mibod Yominayin. I would only know that there's a problem if you cook it after dark, after Pesach starts, how do I know that Bishul Mibod Yom is also a problem, that even cooking on an Erev Pesach is a problem? Talmud Basham Vushal Mikol Makom. V'hai Basham Vushal Afke Rebbe L'tzlikeda L'shar Mashkin. But I said, wait a second. Rebbe already needs Basham Vushal to teach us about Slikedar and Sharmashkin. So he already uses it to teach us other halachos, that you can't even roast it in a pot, and then you're not allowed to cook it in other juices. That's what we have in Amud Aleph. Imkein leimakra o vashel vashel, if that's all the pasuk wanted to teach me, then it should have used a double expression of vashel vashel or mvushal mvushal. Use the same word twice. My vashel mvushal sham mina tarti. Why does it say vashel mvushal? It must be teaching me two dinim. Tan rabbanan. If you eat it roasted on Erev Pesach, you're chayiv. Ukezayis na misha chashecha chayiv. And if you eat a kezayis of partially roasted carbon Pesach after Pesach starts, you're chayiv. Katani tzli dumya dina. Ma na belav, aft tzli belav. So it says, wait a second. We kept on talking about getting malchus for roasting the we just spoke about the isser of roasting the Karm Pesach, of eating the Karm Pesach roasted on Erev Pesach, and it sounds like you get Malkus for that. Where's the Malkus? Bishlam, where does it say a losase in the Torah that you'd get Malkus for it? Bishlam anoksiv al tochlim menu na. I understand na, it's a losase. It says do not eat it na. So I understand you can get Malkus, it's a regular losase. El tzli minolan, where do I see that it's a violation of a losase to eat it tzli on Erev Pesach? So we darshin, you have to eat the meat roasted on this night. Belaila in, biyom lo, only at night, not during the day. So, frankly, Gemara, that can't be the source. That's a lav that comes out from the mitzvah saseh. Any lav that comes from mitzvah saseh is only an aseh, it's not a lav. So, we must be assuming like Rabbi Yehuda. Ditanya, Sharva, says, Haruva, Kalit, Nadavitasa, Oso, Oso, Atamatras, Bede. Long story short, at least we'll go over this again tomorrow, I guess. Yeah. So, long story short, whenever it says the word Lemar at the beginning of a parsha, and then it tells you a bunch of assays, we assume the Lemar is coming to tell me that there's a losase throughout the entire parsha, that there are losases that apply throughout the entire parsha. So you have the word Lemar over here, it's not purely based on the Lav Haba, Mechlal Asse. Okay, thank you again, Jeff Mishra, for the sponsorship in honor of the Bike 4 Pi riders.